Lecture 5. The Athenian Democracy.
In this lecture, I plan to introduce Athens, her democracy, and also the evolution of that peculiar democratic constitution, which, as I mentioned in previous lectures, was not that particularly popular with most ancient authors. There's two issues I want to deal with in this lecture. First is, how did this democratic constitution come about and become, in effect, the ancestral constitution of the Athenians? The Athenians really defined themselves by their democracy. By the time of the Peloponnesian War, they had been practicing it for three or four generations. This is a remarkable development in and of itself, and it goes a long way in explaining why there is this sentimental loyalty to Athens. I share it myself. That certainly goes back to George Groton and to that whole parliamentary tradition. The second point is to give some kind of sketch as to how the democracy actually operated. And what is remarkable about it was a direct participatory democracy. All citizens over the age of 18 without property qualification had the right to vote. And we have to remove certain notions of our own sense of the word democracy, that this was a direct democracy in which the citizens in assembly voted laws, and that the assembly was sovereign, and there was nothing like a set of checks and balances, which is so much the hallmarks of the American Constitution. So the Athenian constitution in many ways was typical of Greek city-states. There was an elected set of officials. They had replaced the ancient kingship. There was a council, a boule, as it's called at most city-states, which is, in a sense, means the will. It acted as the steering committee that prepared the business for the assembly that was divided up into a series of 10 subcommittees, if you will, known as a prytnes or prytne, which would take power each of the 1/10 of the year that the Athenian calendar was divided into. That council was a reflection of the wider citizen body. 50 members each month, which is about 40 days, 10 months to the Athenian official year, it was a lunar calendar. They acted as the executive committee to the boule, which was the steering committee, to the full assembly of citizens. And then there's the assembly of all the citizens, and they could pass any law they wished to pass. There were no restrictions on that assembly. And the assembly, in many ways, met in a judicial capacity as a series of jurors. And so what is often perplexing to the Athenian assembly, not only to us, but to many of the ancient onlookers, was the fact that the demos, that is, all adult free male citizens, had the right to address the assembly, to vote in the assembly, and to expect justice administered by that assembly. So remove the notions of checks and balances. The citizens were really sovereign and had a lot more direct experience in running their government than under any modern constitutional system. Let's start with a comment made by the great statesman Pericles, or we think it was made. Thucydides puts this in a speech of his, of Pericles, in the second year of the Peloponnesian War. It's very often known as the funeral oration. And it was Pericles standing forth to explain what the purpose of the sacrifice of the Peloponnesian War is all about. And he talks about the unique Athenian traditions that are summed up in democracy, and he describes it this way. Let me say that our system of government does not copy the institutions of our neighbors. It is more the case of our being a model to others than of our imitating anyone else. Our constitution is called a democracy because power is in the hands not of a minority, but of the whole people. And the Greek word holdemos means the people in assembly as an orderly group of voters, not a hoi polloi, the many, or a mob. When it is a question of settling private disputes, everyone is equal before the law. And when it is a question of putting one person before another in a position of public responsibility, what counts is not membership of a particular class, but the actual ability which the man possesses. No one, so long as he has it in him to be of service to the state, is kept in political obscurity because of poverty. These are powerful words in a Greek city-state and certainly run contrary to most governments in the Greek world, in which there was a fundamental belief, the Spartans share it with all their Peloponnesian allies, that the upper classes, the kaloi kagathoi, the good and the beautiful is what it means in Greek, had a natural instinct and right to rule.